From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host sitting in for Peter Sagal at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Adam Felber.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you.
It's July, when the flow of news down the great media river becomes as slow as the heartbeat of a hibernating Dick Cheney. So slow, in fact, that Peter Sagal feels confident that he can take a well-earned break and leave his show in my hands without fear of it being utterly destroyed. Well, in these next 2 weeks, I aims to prove him wrong. You know, when he left, I reassured him that I would paint a portrait of the week's events with all the wit, subtlety, and pithy irony as a New Yorker magazine cover. I'm sure he thought it was a good deal at the time. So let's get started. Call us up and answer some questions about the week's news. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jennifer Escobar from Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, Jennifer. And what do you do up there in Seattle?
I'm an administrative assistant. I'm also preparing for grad school right now.
Oh, what are you going to be studying?
Development economics.
Oh, that's terrific. Because if you were going to be studying administrative assistanting, that would make no sense whatsoever.
No, I've gotten enough study for that.
Okay, great. Well, we will now find out if you have enough study for this, Jennifer. Let me introduce you to our panel to get started. First up, it's writer for Esquire and Boston Globe magazine, Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Charlie.
Next up, it's the woman behind the syndicated advice column, Ask Amy, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, Amy.
And finally, it's writer and comedian Paul Provenza.
Hey, Jennifer.
Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you.
You are going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's very own voice on your very own home answering machine. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, here's your first quote.
Where do you go from here? Under your mattress?
That was 78-year-old Lillian Krasin in California this week. She was one of the many people who, for the first time since the Great Depression, found herself involved in a run on what?
On the banks?
Yes, you're right. Miss Krasin is a customer at the collapsing IndyMac Bank. The bank was seized this week by federal regulators, prompting Ms. Krasin and hundreds like her to stage a heartwarming reenactment of the Great Depression by lining up and trying to get their money out and keep it somewhere safer, like under a bed, or buried in the backyard, or inside the belly of a shark, even. Along with the announcement that the government will be helping rescue Freddie Mac and his cousin Fannie Mae, this week was chock full of some pretty strong warnings of the impending economic apocalypse, or as President Bush calls it, the recovery.
You know, I think it all went wrong when we stopped having banks called First National Bank. And so now we have banks that sound like action figures or burger stands.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down and let my financial future to IndyMac. Maybe they'll give me a calendar and a lube job. Yeah. Then I'm going to go to Freddie Mac and get a Fannie Mae.
But, you know, haven't these people ever seen It's a Wonderful Life? Your money's not here. It's in his house. In his house. And under his mattress.
And those guys in the parking lot. It's
right.
In his pocket.
It's in his pocket.
Pocket. And those pockets.
Those gentlemen running very quickly down the street.
They've
got it.
All right, Jennifer, here's your next quote.
It shows your wife, Michelle, with an afro and an AK-47, and the two of you doing the fist bump with you on a sort of turban-type thing on top. I wondered if you've seen it, or if you want to see it, or if you have a response to it.
That was, as I'm sure you recognize, CBS News' Maria Gavrilovich, describing in meticulous detail someone's recent appearance on the cover of the New Yorker magazine. Who was she talking to?
She must have been talking about Michelle Obama. Not sure who she was talking to, though.
Oh,
it's her husband, Barack Obama.
Yes, it is. Somehow, Ms. Gavrilovich left out two more amusing details from the drawing. The framed portrait of Osama bin Laden above the hearth, and the merrily burning American flag in the hearth. Oh, and it's all happening in the Oval Office. The cover, meant to be a satire of how the far right is portraying Obama, touched off a nationwide uproar, with people on the left fuming that the image is an early Christmas gift to the right, and the right complaining that the artist left out the prayer mat, the Karl Marx snow globe on the desk, and Obama's neck tattoo reading, "Kill Whitey." What? Too soon? What do you guys think? Was that great satire or a little over the top or just not great satire?
I happen to think it was pretty good. I think if you know New Yorker magazine, you tell right away what their real point of view is.
Here's when I knew it was satire. Like, Michelle, like, so does not wear her hair like that. Never would. Just wouldn't.
Yeah. Nor I'm not so sure about the camo capris either. They didn't.
No,
yeah.
They weren't very flattering
no.
to her.
No.
She looked like
that.
A member of the Laura Petrie Liberation Front.
Yeah, the LPLF has been, you know, making great strides.
It's been dormant, let me tell you. Yeah. But,
All right, Jennifer, here's your last quote.
This buds pourvu.
That headline from the Associated Press this week summed up the great American drinker's ambivalent reaction to what?
The buyout of Anheuser-Busch?
Yes, exactly. This week, the Belgian beverage behemoth InBev agreed to buy the only slightly less giant Anheuser-Busch for a crisp, refreshing $52 billion. Although InBev may be expected to use Anheuser-Busch's distribution network to help their own beers gain hold in the U.S., the Belgians quickly reassured American drinkers that they had no plans whatsoever to ruin the beloved Budweiser experience by making it taste like beer or anything.
Whoa. Oh, ouch. Whoa.
Wow. Carl, how did Jennifer do?
Jennifer was perfect, Adam. She had three correct answers, so Jennifer, you win our prize.
Jennifer, congratulations.
Thank you. All that studying paid off.
And it sure did. Now back to the books. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. When you say bye.